This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. It's been a busy few months for Normal native Adam Larson. The acclaimed saxophonist recently moved from New York City to Kansas City. His new album, Listen With Your Eyes, drops later this week. And he learned he'll be inducted into the University High School Alumni Hall of Fame next month. Larson stopped by WGLT on a recent visit home to talk with John Norton about his new album, Moving Cross Country, and the Alumni Award, which he says caught him off guard.
I never gave much thought to it other than, okay, this happens once a year when I'm in high school. And then a couple months ago, I got this email saying that I was the recipient of this Hall of Fame Alumni Award from the Alumni Association. So I'm super honored to have been thought of, and I'm going back in October, I guess, to do a speech for the students in Stroud Auditorium, and then I think there'll be some kind of reception that evening at the football game. I was really, really touched to get it.
It's my stereotype that this award generally goes to someone who's much older. Is it unusual for someone your age to get the UHI Alumni Hall of Fame Award?
I would think it would be. I'm not 100% sure how young the people in the past have been, but I remember when people would come in, they would receive the award, I think it was a little bit older than me generally.
This is quite an honor then.
But yeah, I'm really, really, like I said, I'm
the pressure's touched. On now, right?
Yeah, right. Now I have to represent for sure.
So let's get to some tracks from your just released album. It's called Listen With Your Eyes. So it's called Listen With Your Eyes. It's a title track to Adam Larson's new album. What the heck does the title refer to?
So I was just thinking about how people experience music these days. When I was in high school, I feel like social media was just starting to kind of get its... I guess it was just starting to become popular. I didn't join Facebook until I was a senior in high school. And over the last 10 years, I've just noticed that the trend is that the younger and younger the audiences are, the more they want to have some kind of visual component with what they're listening to. So, you know, I do a lot of educational work, and when I say, you know, where do you listen to music, the answer is almost always some derivative of Spotify or Apple Music or, more common, YouTube.
Really?
And whenever they say YouTube, it really kind of trips me out, because that would be the last place that I would go to listen to music. Traditionally, I would open up a CD, you know, or something a lot more on the audio side of it versus like, okay, here's a picture with it.
I had a contractor work for me a little while ago, and in his pickup, he would plug his iPhone in, you know, to his pickup and listen to YouTube.
Yeah, it's strange.
It is odd.
I feel like it can be kind of dark almost, that people are more concerned sometimes with what they're looking at versus what they're hearing, because for me, that takes away some of the beauty of listening to music.
Well, that's an interesting idea, because music always has been so prominent in like movies and television shows too, right?
Sure.
Do you count that among what you're talking about, or is this different about how people experience single songs?
I think it's different how they experience maybe single songs. I don't know. I think that I'm able to concentrate more on a record if I'm able to just be listening to it. I mean, it's great to see the bands perform, sure, but I mean, I just think about my upbringing, and it was always cool just to listen to the music without having some kind of, you know, again, visual component that went with every single thing. And here's another wrinkle in this, I guess. Like, yeah, when you play shows, people will oftentimes, you know, record it on their phone or something, or they'll pull their phone out. And I feel like that is like a bigger problem, because for me, it takes away from the actual experience of why you're there. I mean, are you really there to take a video of it and then watch the video later? Or are you just doing it because that's what people do? You know, I lived in New York for 11 years and I've been to hundreds of different shows. And I think maybe in 11 years, I pulled my phone out once or twice because it was like, this is something I have to see again. But I bootlegged several shows I put on the voice memo app. I have gigabytes of shows that I just recorded on my own so I could listen to them again. But I didn't care about seeing that performance again. If it's a rock concert, maybe it's a different story, but at a jazz club, it can be kind of distracting when you look out and people are on their phones, you know, either looking down or they're watching your concert through the lens of a phone. Like, that just seems counterproductive to me sometimes.
This listen to the song called 20-something. It's from Adam Larson's new album called Listen With Your Eyes. This is GLT's Sound Ideas. You mentioned you lived in New York City for a long time, 11 years. Now you don't anymore, though. You're in Kansas City now.
Yes, sir.
What prompted that move?
A number of factors. My wife and I had our second child in February, so now we have a 2.5-year-old boy named Jack and a 4-month-old boy named Clark.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of time, I think, for us to move to a place where they could have a front and backyard, a little slower pace of life, get a lot more for your money. At the same time, I got a rent renewal notice in the mail that was saying that we could renew our place in New York for the low price of $600 more per month on top of what we were paying. That was just kind of the final nail in the coffin. I was like, all right, this is financially just dumb to do this and only have this apartment or whatever. So I got on a plane on March 15th, and my father drove down from Normal to meet me in Kansas City and saw 9 properties and put an offer in on the last one. And an hour after we put it in, we got the house.
You are a jazz musician living in the jazz capital of the world. Mm-hmm. You're moving to another pretty good jazz town, but it's not New York City. Was that scary in itself?
Kind of. You know, I lean a lot on my friends that lived in Kansas City. I have a really good group of musicians that I've known from the Midwest and other places that have, some of them have moved from New York even. So I called and got a lot of opinions from people about the general scene and the vibe and the community. So much of what I do anyway to support my family and stay afloat is very flexible, you know. So like we moved and bought the house with no other plan than for me to do what I do currently, which is to teach privately and do a lot of traveling, doing masterclass things and performances. And that was a little bit scary, I guess, but the cost of living is so much drastically, different that I knew that if I could, support everybody in New York, that it wouldn't be that hard to do it in Kansas City. Let's put it this way. I wouldn't have moved out of New York had I felt like there were some things that I really, really wanted to get to that I hadn't done yet. There were a lot of things that I set out for myself leaving high school, going to New York, that I wanted to achieve. And I feel like for the most part, I did a really good job of doing that. And I can always get on a plane and go back to New York and continue to do those things, play clubs, so on and so forth.
Well, you landed an academic gig too, right?
I did. That came as like an unintended benefit of just deciding we were going to move.
There's God telling you made the right move, huh?
Yeah, something like that. You know, I mean, and it's pretty rare too, because anymore, you know, as I mentioned, I was going to get my doctorate degree. And that was because it's very hard to get a job in academia these days without that terminal degree. In fact, I had applied for many in New York and just not heard anything. And then I decided, well, okay, the doctorate's not going to work on the timeline I need it to, so let's just move to the other city and see what happens. The week of the closing on the house, I got officially offered a job to teach at University of Missouri Kansas City Conservatory. So I'm already doing that, teaching music business and saxophone lessons.
I've mentioned a couple of songs already from the new album called Listen With Your Eyes. Can I ask you, what song would you like to feature? Is there something on here that you really... Was this maybe something special?
Yeah, there's a song called False Pageantry that's on there. It's a little bit on the more intense side, and my piano player, Fabian Almazan, he went back and did a bunch of synthesizer work over the top of it. So it's really raucous, and that's kind of where my music is. Not all of it, but a lot of my music, I think I might just try to rebrand as instrumental rock. I mean, there's improvisation in every piece that I write, but a lot of it is definitely not considered, you know, straight-ahead jazz. And I always have a little bit of a hard time articulating exactly what kind of music I write or play, because so much of it has grooves that don't necessarily swing at this point.
One more question. You had a pretty moving shout out to your former teacher, Larry Harms. Is he still at ICC?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so Larry Harms, a legendary musician here in Central Illinois, he was your private instructor?
Yeah.
Ages from grade 6 to 8, if I'm remembering right.
Yeah.
What makes him a special teacher?
He's just able to distill a massive amount of information in digestible, little bits, no matter where a student is at, you know, in their development. I mean, when I started taking lessons from him, I was still trying to get reading music together. I was still trying to understand the difference between a swing eighth note and a straight eighth note. When I looked at the chord changes, I had, you know, absolutely no idea what any of the symbols meant. And he was able to you know, over the course of a couple of years, get me from where I just mentioned, which is knowing not a whole lot, to pretty comparable, you know, in 2 years, as far as like understanding mechanics of theory and importance of technique and good sound. And it may sound like, well, duh, but a lot can happen in 3 years, you know, like you can either bite the bug and like really take it seriously, or you can stay where you're at, you know, for a long time. But something about the way Larry presented the information always inspired me to want to keep doing the next thing.
Normal native Adam Larson speaking with WGLT's John Norden. Larson will be inducted into the University High School Alumni Hall of Fame in October. His new album, Listen With Your Eyes, will be available beginning Friday.